We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, The Lord Looks at the Heart. Today's recording is part of a series on 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Here we are in the third chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. This third chapter is a few years after the second chapter because Samuel is about 12 years old at this time. So he's gone through a number of tunics. He's had a number of changes of clothes as he's gone through this time. And we start out and we look at this and we see that it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. What time were they living in? They were living at the end of Judges. They have been, all men have been doing what's right in their own eyes. The word of the Lord was rare. That's what happens when we do only what's right in our own eyes. We set aside the word of the Lord. We stop listening to the word of the Lord. It says in the last days that there will be a famine of the word of God. I look around today and I realize that we are entering into that very time, that there is a famine of the word of God. By the way, as we speak of that, how are you doing with your writing of scriptures? How many of you are writing scriptures? Oh, look at you guys. I'm so proud of you. Aren't you just growing from that? You're learning it. You're memorizing it. And you're putting those word of God in your heart. And you are creating a feast of God's word instead of that famine of God's word. And so here we have in a time, that time of the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place. That's a key right there. Eli was lying down in his place. Now, we know that he was sleeping and all of that, but I look at this and I think the word of the Lord was rare in those days and the priest was lying down. The priest was lying down and the word of the Lord was rare in those times. We need to pay attention to that. And when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was also lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. This was the situation when the Lord called Samuel. It is said in these three verses, the night reigned. There's three things I think here. The night reigned. Darkness reigned. The word of the Lord was rare. Everything was dark. Even Eli, his sight had become dim. Had his sight become dim because of compromise? Had his sight become dim because he refused to walk in the ways of the Lord? He was a leader in the church. He was a leader, a priest, and yet he was not walking, hearing the word of the Lord. The second thing is the lamp of God was going out in the temple. The lamp of God was going out in the temple. Now, we know that this lamp was actually speaking about that lamp that was lit at nighttime, and it burned throughout the night, and it was just about time for that to go out. It was dark. Everything was darkness at that particular time. But we look at this, and we see that the light was about to go out in the temple. It was coming to the end of that age. It was coming to the end of the judges. It was coming to the end of the time when that darkness would reign. And before the lamp of God went out, and the high priest's eyes were grown dim so that he could not clearly see, and both he and Samuel were asleep. both he and Samuel were asleep in the darkness. Does that sometimes happen to us? That we find ourselves in the midst of darkness in our life, and we find ourselves, rather than dealing with the darkness, we just go to sleep. Just pretend like it's not there. What happens? The darkness expands, the light goes out, and we find ourselves in a worse situation. It's that time of the day when Samuel heard a voice calling him. He thought it was Eli. Eli said it's not him. Was Eli awakened from a deep sleep? He was an older guy. I don't know if any of you, as we mature, do any of you like me have that time of night when you're just in this really deep sleep? And I look at this and I think, somebody coming and waking me out of that deep sleep when you don't realize what's going on around you. Was he in that kind of a deep sleep? I look at it and I say, was he in that kind of a deep sleep because of his compromise? Because of his compromise, was he in that deep sleep? Because of his constant disobedience, was he in that deep slumber? A little sleep, a little slumber, and your poverty will come upon you. Poverty in the Word of God. Poverty in the light that is given to us. Samuel didn't know that it was the Lord. He was about to find out that it was the Lord. He's about to be introduced to the Lord. Samuel was in the best place to develop a relationship with the Lord. Samuel had not known the Lord, it says in verse 7, that Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. But Samuel was in the best place to reveal, to develop that relationship. Samuel was ministering to Eli in the temple. He was ministering to Eli in the temple. Samuel was ministering to Eli, whom he knew, and Eli is in a way introducing Samuel to the Lord by the way that he sends Samuel back and he tells him what to do. He gives him directions, how to respond when the word of the Lord comes to you. I wonder that perhaps Eli thought, oh, I remember that. I remember the Lord speaking to me, and this is what you do. What do you do? You tell him to speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Samuel was to do some things. He was to quiet himself, and he was to listen, and he was then to respond. The best preparation for hearing God's voice in obedience is to quiet ourselves and to listen. Quiet ourselves and listen in obedience and trustful submission. And here we go. He's going down into this, and he says to the Lord, speak, for your servant hears you. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, in verse 11, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of the Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering sacrifice. This is the very thing that you read about in chapter 2. Sometime before, the Lord had spoken to them. What had happened in chapter 2? You see, Eli feared the disappointment of his sons more than his desire to be obedient to the Lord. He feared the sadness of his sons over the disobedience to the Lord. He didn't challenge what the boys were doing, and they were causing others to blaspheme the Lord. The boys were causing people to despise the sacrifice of the Lord. They were causing the people to despise the sacrifice of the Lord, and the Lord said, there is no remedy for that. These are the consequences. You will all die together. And so here we have Samuel listening carefully to this message. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to us tonight. He has a word for you tonight. The maker of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all things, the one who created everything that was ever created, wants to talk to us tonight. Will we listen to him? Will we pay attention to him? What will he say to us? I was reminded of that little old song in the garden. When my mom died, when I was 8 years old and my mom died, I remember at her funeral, this song was there. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, because he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, it's like nobody else has ever known this. Nobody else has ever felt this close to the Lord as this person is in the garden alone early in the morning while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear, he hears the sound of a voice, the Lord speaking to him. The song that he discloses. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me something about me. He tells me I belong to him. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God wants to speak to us. He wants to tell you that you have worth. He wants to tell you that you are loved. He wants to tell you that you are accepted in the Beloved. He wants to tell you that if you will walk with him, he has great things planned for you. Is it going to be a life without pain? Oh, honey, we don't understand happiness without pain. We have to have that pain in our lives to understand what it is to truly have that kind of joy. So, God wants to speak to us. Eli had heard the Lord speak to him in the past, but he had gotten so busy. Did you used to hear the word of the Lord more than you're hearing it today? Why is that? We get a little busy. We're so busy doing for the Lord. We get so busy that we miss him. God is always speaking to him. We just need to pay attention. I have here six things by the time we get done. But let me ask you the question, who does God speak to? Who does God speak to? In our text, God speaks to the child. In our text, he is a child, and this speaks to us of being childlike. Eli was old, and he couldn't see well. He had all the degrees. He had all the pieces of paper. He knew how to run the church, if you will. He knew how to do these things. He knew the positions to be in for prayer. He knew how to tell you, oh, bless the Lord. He knew how to do all of those religious things. But he had gotten so busy that he didn't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. He wasn't listening. God speaks to children. We must become as little children. Become childlike. God speaks to children because they expect to hear from him. They expect to hear from him. We've all already gone over that, the mom thing, that they expect to get an answer when they say something to us. They expect that. And when I come before the Lord, I expect to hear something from him, because this I know, he wants to talk to me. He wants to talk to you. He has something to say to you. Something that is just especially for you. Nobody else will understand it. It's just for you. But we have to be listening. Shannon was in school one day, and she had prayed that her dad would come and get her from school. And here we are sitting at the dinner table. And Shannon said, Daddy, I prayed today that you would come and get me. And you didn't come and get me. And Bill said, you know, I was sitting at my desk today and the Lord told me, go get Shannon from school. And I disobeyed. And he was felt so sorry, and he, oh, please forgive me. I was not listening to the Lord. I was not responding to the Lord. And as he's feeling so bad about it, Bethany, just all of a sudden, she just said, I think I hear the Lord saying, I love you, Bill. Isn't that precious? Little children listening to what the Lord has to say, and then delivering that to someone else. This is what Samuel did here. He heard the word of the Lord, and then he delivered it to Eli. God speaks to children, and they respond. Number two, when did God speak to him? Early in the morning, just before dawn, when everything is quiet, not even the birds are singing, and it's quiet. Probably as quiet as it is in here right now. Not a sound. I can hear very well. Have you ever been in a place where you're talking to somebody and you're in this place, everybody's around you, everybody's blah, 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 everybody has something to say and they're all saying it at the top of their lungs. For some reason, they feel like the other person can't hear them unless they're yelling at them. And here you are in the midst and you're trying to listen to this person that's talking to you and you can't hear anything that they're saying and you hope that you're smiling at the right time. You hope that you're laughing. They're laughing. I hope we're all both laughing at the same thing. But then you get in a place where it's just the two of you. And there, it's just about closing time, so there's nobody else around. And there's quietness around you. And you hear every single word because your attention is wholly given to that other person. God wants our attention to be wholly given to him so that we can hear and we can listen. It was early in the morning. The Bible says, early will I seek thee. I got to tell you, there is something about getting up early to pray in the morning. And I love coming here at church early in the morning and praying with that, and so you should join me. When did God speak to him? God spoke to Samuel when he was in the temple ministering to the Lord. When he was in the temple ministering to the Lord. Ministering for the Lord and ministering to the Lord are two very different things. When we minister to the Lord, it is a drawing near to him, a personally, when no one else sees it. No one else hears what we're saying to the Lord. We're drawing near to him. That's ministering to the Lord, taking care of the things that are bring glory to the Lord. Coming early in the morning when only a few are there. This is the highest calling of all, ministering to the Lord. But Samuel didn't yet know the Lord in a personal way. Still, he ministered to him, worshiped him, and praised him. And then he became a true believer in Christ, a true believer in the Lord, because he had ministered to the Lord, and he was listening, and the Lord spoke to him. Ministering to the Lord is not what I get out of it. It's what he gets from me. It's not what I get out of it. It's what he gets from me. And sometimes that kind of worship, sometimes that kind of praise, sometimes that has to be sacrificial. I don't feel like praising. This is happening, that's happening, the other thing's happening. I don't feel like praising. And yet we do. In Acts 13:2, we have the story of Paul and Barnabas, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. So they were ministering to the Lord. We have to minister to the Lord before we can minister for the Lord. How do we minister for the Lord? We're a missionary. We feed the hungry. We do lunch and a prayer. We are all those other places doing for the Lord. Samuel only knew about the Lord and still knew that he was worthy of praise. Number three, where did the Lord speak to Samuel? Spoke to him in his bed. What does that speak of? Samuel was at a place that he was at rest. Where will the Lord speak to us? When we're at rest. Oftentimes, we went through that whole thing of that busyness and all the people around us and everything going on around us. But when we are at rest, when we've kind of let go of everything that's going on, we're so busy running to and fro that we don't hear him. Number four, why did God speak to Samuel? Why did God speak to Samuel? Remember, Hannah dedicated him to the Lord? Hannah had already dedicated him to the Lord. God spoke to Samuel because he was dedicated to the Lord. God spoke to Samuel because he was wholly surrendered to the Lord. God spoke to Samuel because he was listening. He spoke to Samuel because Samuel was laying there waiting to hear from God, listening for the voice of the Lord. Because why did God speak to Samuel? Because God had a message to deliver, and Samuel was willing to deliver that message. Eli needed to know that very tough message, and Samuel was willing to give him that message. Wasn't excited about giving him that message, but had to give him the message nonetheless. Why did God speak to Samuel? He was responsive. Why did God speak to Samuel? Because Samuel got out of bed. Samuel was listening. While Bill is gone, I often will be wakened up in the middle of the night because all of the places he goes to, it's daytime when I'm sleeping. And the Lord will oftentimes wake me up in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, there will be this thought of this thing to pray, and it's always for Bill. And I just begin to pray that thing that the Lord's put on my heart as he wakes me up in the night. When Bill was in Belize a number of years ago, before cell phones, so you know it was a little while ago, but before cell phones, before you had to trust in the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You know, you didn't have WhatsApp, you didn't have any of the connections or anything, you couldn't call somebody down there, there was no email, there was none of that stuff going on. And so he was down in Belize, and I remember the day I was standing at my ironing board and I was ironing, and all of a sudden the Lord said, pray for Bill's safety. And I began to pray for Bill's safety. And I just knew something was going on. I had no idea what was going on, but I prayed for Bill's safety. And then days later, when I went to pick him up at the airport, here is one of the guys coming with a dislocated shoulder. And so he's all bandaged up, and Bill comes and he tells me, we were involved in a serious accident. We rolled the car. We were on Devil's Curve. And they rolled the car, and the people around them were amazed that they were alive because the people there said, people do not walk away when they have an accident on this curve. And yet they walked away from it. The car was totally destroyed. But the Lord had me pray for him at that particular time. And the reason that I tell you that is that God spoke to me at that time so that when they got home, I get to tell them the story and God gets the glory. I love that. There's nothing else I did. I just listened to the Lord. I prayed the way that the Lord told me to pray, and God got the glory for it. God did the protecting, and he took care of all of that for me and for Bill. You think you're up in the night for no reason at all, but ask God, why am I awake right now? You know, whenever we go to the retreat, to women's retreat, there are always the ladies that say, well, I don't want to go to the retreat because I snore. And I'm very concerned about the ladies who would be in the room with me because I snore. And so there they are at the retreat. Then we convince them to go to the retreat because, number one, it's only two nights, and so if they keep somebody up, we'll live through it. But also being reminded that if somebody wakes me up at night because they're snoring, it's not just that I'm awake because they're snoring. Can we look at it and see that if they weren't snoring, we would be sound asleep? And God needed to wake us up because he needed us to pray for whatever comes to our mind at that particular time. And maybe it's that person that's snoring. Maybe it's that person that has something going on in their life that I know nothing about. But the Lord points to him and said, I want you to pray this way. You think you're just awake because somebody else is loud. Take a little fan with you. You won't hear them anyway. But should you hear them above the fan, just pray. Just pray and ask the Lord, why am I awake? Why does God speak to us? Samuel was faithful to share the word of the Lord. Why does God speak to us? Samuel was faithful to share the word of the Lord. He gave out what God gave to him. When I was able to say to Bill, I was praying at that particular time, I'm able to give out what God gave to me. And then God gets the glory. From that time on, he would speak and he would give that everything that Samuel spoke of was spoken as a prophet. He spoke in tenderness. He didn't want to tell Eli. I wouldn't want to tell Eli, would you? This is a tough thing. But what did Eli tell him? In verse, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. I wonder if he took a breath there and that Samuel perhaps just went, and then you hear Eli saying, God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Well, okay, here goes. But you see, it was in the mouth of two or more witnesses that this was to come to pass. Because back in chapter 2, the man of God had come and he said, this is what's going to happen. And Eli was disobedient. Eli didn't care about his sons. He was more afraid of his sons losing their happiness than he was about the fear of the Lord. You know that's so missing today. Fear of the Lord. Oh, that we would have that fear of the Lord. Oh, that we would stand in awe of who he is. That's what it means to fear the Lord, to be in awe of him. Oh, that we would fear the Lord. And so Eli didn't walk in obedience. He walked in disobedience. So that when this came, so we have the mouth of the man of God, that witness, and now we have from the mouth of Samuel, little Samuel, in the mouth of two or more witnesses, let this thing come to pass. Eli knew that this was from the Lord. In verse 18, it says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Eli realized, I have been disobedient, and this is the high price I pay for it. And still Samuel spoke in tenderness. Nathan didn't want to tell David, you've messed up, dude. Big time you messed up. You're the one in this story. I don't think Nathan wanted to say that to David. But because Nathan walked with the Lord, because Nathan listened to the Lord, he told David. And because he told David, David broke and repented. What if Nathan had been too afraid to say it? What would happen? Number 5, how does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? He speaks to us through his word here and his word here. His word, the written word, and the word that he places in our head. I hear a voice sometimes in my head. It tells me good things. How does God speak to us? Through other people. Through other people. God will speak to us through a sermon. And you know, the thing about when people teach, we're only responsible for what we say, because you hear something different than I'm saying. I know it. Because I've had people come to me afterwards and say, well, when you said that thing about the blah, 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 you know, I do not remember that. And yet that's what you heard, because that was the Holy Spirit speaking it. And so, you know, to me, maybe I was speaking in tongues at the time, as far as you were concerned. I don't know. But anyway, through a sermon sometimes. How does God speak to us? Sometimes it's through that still, small voice. When all is quiet early in the morning, that still, small voice that he speaks to us. In Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, don't harden your heart. Respond to it. Listen to it and respond. Be very childlike. Today, when the Lord speaks to you, listen and obey, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Eli had become dull of hearing and could no longer see clearly. Too many things got in the way. Too many compromises had taken place. He was not hearing from God, although he held a prestigious position. Everything about him looked good. He knew how to be religious. He knew how to say the right words. He looked really good. But when it came down to it, he didn't have that relationship. He was not hearing from God. You have to hand it to him, though, when God said out of the mouth of two witnesses that he just said, be it as the Lord has spoken. He knew he was busted. He knew this is it. There is a cost for disobedience. And we need to remember that. There is a high price for disobedience, and it may not come right away, because God's not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness. Be sure that our sins will find us out. God spoke to Samuel, and God will speak to us if we are available, if we are listening, if we are resting in him. God will speak to us if we are childlike, not childish, but childlike, full of anticipation, full of wonder. God will speak to us if we are trusting him. God will speak to us if we are wholly sold out to him. And God will speak to us if we simply ask him to. Simply ask the Lord to speak to him. We prayed before we came in here, Lord, would you just speak to us tonight? And I've got to tell you, while I've been talking, the Lord's been going through my head, saying things to me. I've been hearing from the Lord, and it's not all been coming out, because some of it's just for me. And he won't let me share that with you, because this is just between him and me. Just ask. We have not because we ask not. God wants to speak to us. The maker of the heavens and the earth wants to speak to us. And he just says, listen. Come away, my beloved. You are loved. You are loved, ladies. God loves you with an everlasting love. It's with his loving kindness that he's drawn you. He looks upon you and he calls you, oh, my beloved. And he draws close to you. Listen for that still small voice. And so, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to just sit and listen and hear what you have to say, Lord. We want to bring glory to your name. We want to bless you. We want to honor you, Lord. We want to bring glory to your name. That is our purpose, Lord. We want to give what you have given us. We want to give out what you have given to us. Lord, we want you to get the glory for it all. Work in our lives, Lord. Help us to slow down. Help us to get that time alone. Help us, Lord, to bring honor to your name. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a challenge for you. Okay, Monday morning, I really wanted to sleep in. I really, really, really wanted to sleep in. But we have 7 o'clock prayer on Monday morning, and Monday is my day to come. And so I got up, and I don't want to get up. And I came, and I prayed, and the Lord really spoke to me at that time. So I want to challenge you to come to the 7 o'clock prayer meeting if you can. Okay, I see those looks on your faces, and you're saying, ain't no way. Number one, I'm not coming at that time. Number two, I can't come at that time. But here's the challenge. How about if we start again at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening, if we stop what we're doing and for 1 minute, all of us pray at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening. Why 7:14? 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. And so I want to challenge you to change the land. So let's us, ladies, all get together wherever we're at, get together as a body wherever we're at, and all be praying at 7:14. Shall we synchronize our watches right now so that we're all praying at the same time? I challenge you to start doing that. So God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's lesson, and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing.